FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators,
Hopewadi with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Chris, on this Easter weekend, where I think that every year with Easter, it's about revival, it's about renaissance, it's about human beings on their journey towards the ever-increasing levels of perhaps evolutionary sort of standards. You know, perhaps one day we won't be bound by flesh. And who better than to take us on this journey than Steve Mascourt, a renaissance man for all occasions, who can sort of take us out of what I think is a fairly childish game into something bigger than that.
We've talked about the trouble that rugby league can be in.
Yes.
And if there is one man who I think has predicted in about 150 years the death of rugby league, who can also be responsible for its resurrection now, it'd have to be Steve. Hi, Steve.
Who was the last Renaissance man seen walking around Redfern in a Toronto Wolfpack jersey and carrying a Steel Panther CD?
Case solved, that's it. He's an internationalist.
Mark Seymour from Hunters and Collectors? No, I don't know.
Now, Steve, I would like to know where you stand, given that you predicted the death of rugby league in 150 years, as Chris just said, whereas Alan Jones, your peer, your colleague, has come out and said rugby union is already dead and gone, it's buried. But yet he's ranting, state of play with rugby union, whatever that is.
Rugby union, people in Australia don't realise, rugby union is a massive sport internationally. We're a pimple on rugby union's bum. It just so happens to be doing very poorly in this country. But that doesn't mean we should stop fearing it or stop fighting it.
Right.
Does this for once mean that Australia is actually ahead of the world instead of being 20 years behind? Because let's face it, I mean, as the parrot has said, the turnstiles are not spinning. They're not spinning for one clear reason: dud game.
You're rugby union, yeah, totally. But that doesn't really matter when you're sipping Pims, does it?
You know, no. you don't.
Yeah, the game is
it's
just
not
a background.
About the game, no.
It's
like
it context.
Yeah, but look at the hyphen in my surname. You know.
Well, if you've got a hyphen in your surname, you're playing for Penrith
but
right now.
Isn't that where the kiddies in rugby league are missing out? They've got double, triple barrel, quarter, like four barrel names, and no hyphens.
Let's not forget, rugby union is responsible for throwing the great Sol Mokdad into jail for 13 nights. Fittingly, 13. Exactly.
Can you 13. Explain, please, to the listener who has no idea what you're talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Sol Mokdad should be... There should be a statue of him outside every rugby league stadium in the world. Yes. Sol Mokdad was thrown in jail in the United Arab Emirates at the behest of the rugby union for trying to promote rugby league.
That's right.
Yeah.
I would happily lop the head off the King's statue at Suncor
and
put Sol's head on there.
Yeah.
Next week, at least before Origin.
poorly attached gaffer tape.
The Solly M's, that should be the player of the year. The Solly
M's.
That be?
Solly M's. Even in this quest for evolutionary perfection, somehow rugby league still reverts back to its childish behaviour, Chris.
It does. It is ultimately, and I think, you know, I'm sure we'll explore the farrago that is the West Tigers at some stage.
I can't wait.
On my personal request.
I said, if you can't beat them, join them.
Let me rip off the Band-Aid. St. George, Illawarra, Dragons, top of the table. Right, there, it's done.
No, it's not. We'll get to that later. But you can put a suit on a rugby league player. You can dress them up with their wags at the award nights, put on red carpet. You can take them to educational classes about, you know, player behaviour. There's a whole bunch of things you can do to smarten up rugby league. But you scratch them, they're just still that sort of like 7-year-old kid that gets bashed around in a muddy park somewhere, and they revert to form.
Aaron Woods, yep. Currently a West Tiger.
Right.
And I use the word currently very advisedly.
Yes.
Apparently addressed the boys before they ran out onto 1300 Smile Stadium.
Mm.
And with the, I think, the player whisperer, Joe Wiebe, possibly in the background, and, you know, Mind Games is all part of this, said, lads, remember why you played rugby league when you were 6 years old. And Elijah Taylor put his hand up and says, because my dad made me. But most of them remember they played it because it's fun, yeah. Because it's basically a game.
Right.
And rugby league is very much a kid's game.
Yes, and the kids have heroes. Steve, if I could remind, take you back to your 6-year-old, 7-year-old state. Who were your rugby league
I haven't really moved on much.
No, given.
My rugby league heroes, well, back then it was before the Steelers, so my heroes were actually, I'm sorry to say this, to admit it, but they were St. George players. I had a St. George scrapbook.
Yeah.
When I was in...
What was in the scrapbook?
There was a page for every player, and it had the stencils. Remember the stencils?
Yeah.
And I'd sort of... trace it with red across the top and say Brian Johnson, Michael Sorodimi, Wayne Chalice.
Wow.
Tony Trudgett was there. And I'd cut all the, like, when I was going through my old Rugby League Weeks, recently I wrote a piece in the last Rugby League Week, and the very first copy of Rugby League Week had my name written in cursive on the front. This is from 1980, so I subsequently collected older ones. Of course, everyone has.
Yes.
But then the photo was actually cut out of the front of the first, because it obviously must have been St. George player, so it was stuck in the scrapbook.
Do you still have it?
Robert Stone was my favourite player as a kid.
Right.
I loved Robert Stone.
Yeah.
He's not with us anymore, is he?
No, he isn't. No. He was actually this... He was the CEO of St. George as opposed to the joint venture shortly before his death. But he's not with us anymore. I used to like sort of unfashionable players, like big props, and I never liked the sort of fancy players.
Yeah, I was a bit shallow. I like the fancy ones. Now, is this scrapbook in the Rugby League Museum at Driver Avenue?
The scrapbook, you know what? I don't know where it is, Stephen. I don't know. I don't know where it is, but I do have, like, I have an original...
like the Shane files.
Yeah, it's got the same way as the Willoughby newsagent files. Sorry.
No, I have an original St. George Supporters Club from 1981 supporters kit in mint condition with Stephen Mascord, 44 Waratah Street, Windang on the front.
Wow.
And you take it out and it's completely mint condition. It's got, if you go into my storage room, you'll just see on laying on the ground Rank Arena Big Game sticker. You know what I mean? I've got all this kind of, all this weird stuff, you know.
Which brings me to the question, was there anybody you feared or you were scared of in rugby league when you were a kid?
Anyone I was scared.
Who gave you the ooh?
Jack Gibson, I'd say.
Jack Gibson, with his fur coat.
I caught him when I was a young reporter. I actually caught him looking at me. I was actually, he caught me eating the grapes in the Cronulla dressing room. And he just glared at me.
I'd do more than the Cronulla dressing room if I had a chance.
He just glared at me across the room and then he said, have another one.
Jack, Chris, anybody you feared as a kid?
Well, I was going to say, has sports science evolved, or are they still going the grapes in the rooms after the game?
Dane Sorensen used to stand in like a barrel full of ice. Like he'd actually get straight off the field and he'd stand up to his knees in barrel full of ice. Like if you tipped it over, he would still be trapped in it. He could roll it around and he'd be going round and round. Like you know, he was buried up to the level where he had no...
This is not Mad Monday stuff.
No, this is
legit.
No. Yeah. He wasn't drinking a gallon of port while he was doing it. So that's what they do on Mad Monday, isn't it?
I don't know if I was necessarily scared of anyone in rugby league, but I was just scared of what I could become because I was a huge sports action fan with Rex and Controversy Corner. But occasionally, you'd flick the channel to see Ron Casey and Frank Hyde go at it, and I said, this is what passion in the game could do to you. And I worried whether I'd become eventually a Ron Casey. And I kind of figured...
Wasn't it confusing, though, because there isn't a Melbourne Chris Gale, but there was a Melbourne Ron Casey.
They were both
in the same job. They had no connection to each other. And for a young kid, it was very confusing, wasn't it?
But the thing
one had a speech impediment and one didn't. That was the only way you could kind of tell them apart.
But the thing that stood out to me was that on Sports Action with Rex, you got actual footage of the games and you got nothing on Channel 9. It was always just talking heads. And imagine talking about rugby league without any vision. Who'd want to listen to that?
I guess I'm going, what shapes a young boy you know, in today's sort of pantheon of interests, you know, you might be sort of 7 or 8 and go, gee whiz, that flume's cool, you know?
Yeah. Wow. If you're 7 or 8, please call in and tell us.
Yes, please. You're on holidays today. We'll try and
I'm sure you've got a smartphone. So
hey, listen, let's give the text out, shall we? 0409 945 945.
So, and I have two passes to give away to the gig of your choice next week, Dan Baird. And Homemade Sin. Dan Baird was in the Georgia Satellites.
Yep.
And if you'd like to win a ticket to either the Bridge Show or the one at the basement on Tuesday,
right?
Then hashtag keep your hands to yourself. That's a very long hashtag. You've got to, and you've got to spell your correctly
kitties,
as well.
Kitties,
yeah,
please.
Keep your hands to yourself and give us the name of the Georgia Satellite's second album. The only winner will be Chris Gayle.
The polymath. Keep your hands to yourself and visible at all times.
Yes.
Talking about classing up the joint, giveaways and everything. We've just gone up.
You just waltz in. We'll leave.
We're a Fennigan radio station.
Well, the promoter did promise me that I could put people, there could be a problem. But anyway, keep going. So
I'm trying to make a point here. What shapes a young man when they look at older men and they go, oh, there's a role model, or there's somebody I sort of shape myself on, build my own character on? And is it Frank Hyde when you're a kid, you know, or is it, you know, a Trudgett, or is it, in your case?
Well, in my case, as a young child, I met Ian Craig, who was Australia's youngest Test cricket captain. And my parents said, you know, he met me, gave me a pat on the head, and I never played higher than fourth grade.
Right.
So these things shape you, and Ian had a fairly limited career as the Australian captain.
Yes.
But sometimes for young kids, they get to meet leviathans of the game, and it'll have an indelible effect.
There's a little kiddie on the news.
There is a
kiddie. His name
is
Boston. He's not the only Boston around at the moment. It's quite fashionable, apparently, name yourself after American states or cities. But Boston is the son of Blake Green.
Yeah.
The footy player.
Yeah, George Burgess's child arrived last week.
Who copped whose name?
So he's Boston Burgess.
Yeah, beautiful.
But
what's his middle name?
I think it's Mac. I think he went for
Barry.
Mass, Boston, Massachusetts.
And right.
They wouldn't register that, so it's Boston Mac Burgess, I think.
Time for a BG song.
Blake Green, who of course now is playing for Manly Warringah, and they're going up against the Melbourne Storms this weekend.
Yes.
And so it's the first time he's up against his old club, so hence the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about his own 3-year-old Boston.
He's got a
Green.
Few kids though, right?
Blake does?
Yeah, doesn't he?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay, right. I want to do.
Yeah. Boston Green. It sounds like a country club, doesn't it?
It's a nice ring. Yeah. Roddy Dangerfield.
I'll make sure the Boston Green for one of those Pims.
Yeah. He hasn't got a daughter called Teresa, though, has he?
No.
Jacket Green, you know, Masters, Sergio.
Grass.
But it's been in the news, and he revealed a very interesting detail about young Boston, if you would like me to share that with the listeners.
I would love you to, yes, please.
Steve. Mm. And I quote, in relation to Supercoach Bellamy, Blake said, "Not many kids like Craig Bellamy, but my little fella is fascinated by him. I think Craig's got a soft spot for him because he showed a bit of interest in him. I had to make sure I took him to say hello.
Yeah.
The moment he could run around, I used to bring him into training. He used to go into Craig's office, and guess what Craig would be doing? He'd be watching video after video after video.
Was it, and shouting and swearing, I imagine, kicking the damn TV.
Yeah, but isn't the key quote there that not many kids like Craig Bellamy?
No, that's true. Steve, you found that, haven't you? That they avoid Craig at all cost. Kiddies are afraid of Craig Bellamy.
That's a bit of a leading question. I'm not sure I've ever been in the presence of an underage person and Craig Bellamy
at the same time.
So I don't know. But I imagine that Blake Green's son would have a Wigan accent, so he'd be struggling for friends, really, wouldn't he? Like, you know, if you're walking around, you know, Sydney with a Wigan accent.
So would Boston Burgess, whose accent is
Trans-Pacific?
Where are the Burgess from?
They're from Yorkshire, but I'd imagine that his accent would be... You pick up the accent. We've all got friends who live overseas, and their kids speak the local accent. They pick it up from school, and they pick it up from TV.
I got a funny feeling, though, that Boston Burgess would have a little twing of... you say
he'd be too scared not to.
Yeah, to be not speaking Yorkshire. Yeah.
He'd be too small to have any sort of accent, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think it's...
Surely you put those two together, wouldn't you? The two Bostons.
Oh, well, I think you've got the makings of a good team.
But because that hasn't happened, he's a lonely little kid. He's a sad little kid. And he wants an older person to take some interest in him, right? And that says a lot about protecting kiddies, doesn't it? You know?
It must become quite difficult at the Green household now that Dad's not playing for the Storms. When the game is on, how do they make sure that Boston gets to watch what I'm sure he still is a team that he's interested in?
Can he lip read?
Yeah, but not be exposed to footage of a bellyache in the box.
Yeah.
Because it's a frightening
sight for
adults. It's
quite blue language, isn't it?
Yes. It's not. It's certainly X-rated.
Remember when Craig Bellamy coached Country and they built a special box for him on the roof because they didn't want him swearing in the crowd? They actually built a box.
Soundproof.
Yeah, yeah.
did.
A panic room.
Is that the grassroots funding that the NRL keeps talking about?
Exactly, the Bellamy box.
So is this a little bit like, you know, the Bart Simpson's evil twin Hugo? Perhaps this Boston character is a little dark. You know, a little sort of weird, you know.
I was wondering what you were getting at there.
You know, perhaps his love of Craig Bellamy is a little strange in itself.
No, I just think it just means that some kids like to chart a different path.
They do.
And I think in a game that is always talking about inclusion, there's room for
outsiders.
Strange little kids.
Yeah, strange little kids.
But we love Boston.
Yeah. Look, can I change tack?
Yes.
Okay. We love Boston, and let's face it, the Melbourne team is essentially Queenslanders, and the great Queensland team, the Brisbane team, stand up Reg. And what's he wearing today, Chris?
He's got the Powers jersey on.
Mm-hmm.
1988, yeah.
TDK on the side.
That's right.
He's proud of it. Looks a bit weird, though.
You can't buy either of those products anymore, can you? You can't buy a Powers beer. Can you still buy a TDK
cassette?
Blank cassette?
I think you can now.
You certainly can't buy the New South Wales Rugby League. Isn't that the most interesting thing about that jersey is it actually has the NSWRL badge on it rather than NRL or
ARL.
Hey,
we make the Warriors wear a green and gold badge. Although they are now allowed to, they've got a different version, haven't they? It's black and white.
But explain this to me, New South Wales Rugby League badge on a Brisbane team.
Because we let them into our competition.
Our competition.
And it should never have happened, and what a mistake it was.
Look what's happened. You have the floodgates, they take full advantage.
We all agree, 12 Sydney teams, fantastic competition, we'd all be happy.
Bring back Glebe University.
Yes.
Annandale. The original Newcastle.
I believe the Glebe Dirty Reds are actually back.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
I'm going to throw my script out the window. That's a lovely day for it. It's a public holiday.
It is beautiful.
I went to see Midnight Oil last night, and after about 2 hours, he said, "Who's rushing home? What do you got to do tomorrow?" I nearly put my hand up and said, "I got fire up, Peter."
Me too. I cried off going to see Mark Evans and Di Pritchard and that at the bridge because I had to be in here this morning.
Former bass player of AC/DC?
Bass player of AC/DC.
How was it?
I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go? No. Well, we digress.
I was at home and early to bed.
But how was the Oils? Come on, your listeners want to hear how the Oils were.
They do. And let me just say, we grew up in the same area. He was a Barker boy, and rugby union was the game. But he couldn't quite. He was a little bit. He's a delicate soul sometimes, old Peter. And he said he always had a soft spot for cricket and, of course, AFL, even though he was. Grew up on the North Shore. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense.
It does. You know, if you're going to reject rugby union, go AFL.
I saw him once at Manly Leagues Club, and it was during the Northern Eagles thing, and he railed against, all the causes that Peter Garrett has railed against the Northern Eagles joint venture.
Did he?
In fact, if they'd stayed together longer, I'm convinced he wouldn't have written a protest song about the Northern Eagles.
Wow.
If you go back and review the footage of the gig outside the Exxon building... I think he predicted the merger between North and Manly was speaking against it as early as the early 90s.
Yeah.
And he was right, again.
Well, last night he had a crack at the Adani. Is that how you say the Adani coal mine up in...
Adina coal mine, is it?
Adini, yep. Yeah. At the same time, he mentioned the footy show. He said the footy show would be proud of me because he brought out an esky or two eskies to stand on during Wedding Cake Isle. To do a mock surf routine. Now, look, the Mighty Oars are called the Mighty Oars for a reason, because they're mighty.
Yeah.
And they were.
And what's the connection you see between the footy show and Indian coal interests?
And eskies. Only Peter could make that.
He also, Minotaur also headlined a fundraiser for the Steelers when I was a kid at Brandon Park. And halfway through the gig, Peter Garrett said he didn't know this was a football club, and if he did know, he wouldn't have done the gig.
So he thought it was like a miners' rights thing or something.
Yeah. Talk about well-informed.
Yeah, exactly. He's like Donald Trump.
He knows about everything except footy.
Speaking of Steelers, do you know A.H. Kaylee at all? She's a bit of a Steeler.
Yeah, I've never met her, but I obviously she's famous from this program. Isn't she? The whole world knows
Keep away, Steve. She'll devour you.
It wouldn't be a fair contest.
Look, I'm not going near that.
Brisbane.
I've never even laid eyes on
Brisbane.
Just in terms of enthusiasm for the Steelers is what we're referring to.
She's too young to be enthusiastic about the Steelers, isn't she?
She was seven when they disbanded or merged.
They've been gone longer than they were ever around.
Don't you hate it when the youngsters cop the stuff that we grew up with?
Don't
you hate that?
I was there. You weren't.
Yeah, kids in Ramones t-shirts. She walks around with a Rod Wishart football card on her mobile phone. I mean, about try-hard.
Try-hard, yeah.
Literally balancing it on her phone.
Can't turn it upside down.
I mean, it's,
every time she takes a call, it falls off.
There goes Rod again.
It's one of those big new smartphones because you couldn't get the thighs of Wishart into one of those smaller jobs. Just the image is too big.
This is a girl who dreams of Paul Gallen.
Yeah.
Oh, she will not be happy.
You know what they called him in New
that.
Guinea? They called, in New Guinea, we went on the 1991 tour, and he, the, in pigeon, it was skin tight. That means big muscles.
Skin tight.
So
yes.
So people would go, so skin tight, Illawarra Flash. Skin tight.
Who? Gal?
No. Wishart. Rod Wishart. Yes. Skin tight, Illawarra Flash.
Yes, he does have a pumped up look about him, doesn't
he? We'll give a writer a reply later on in this season.
And you want to say hello to Paul Langmack today too?
Oh no, don't.
We gave him great credit recently for doing the whole, you know, inclusion and the Mardi Gras floats.
I saw Paul at the Vintage Trouble show the other night. Hello.
Well, he gets around, doesn't he?
He is. Yeah, he's doing a lot of work in the community at the moment.
Yeah,
he's been ill. We all wish him the best.
Yeah. I bumped into him at Max Watts at 3 o'clock in the morning at Mardi Gras, and he was looking great.
Yeah.
And I'm working
wearing
my
what?
Way through the final issue of Rugby League Week at the moment.
Yes.
And he was actually the Rugby League Week Player of the Year, around about 94, I think, something like that. Which is what a great honour.
Skin tight. No, he's not skin tight.
You know, Mixmaster Belong Jesus, that's helicopter.
The Swedish guys?
Not the other. Pontus Snib.
Brisbane.
They're not happy this week because they've got a signing.
They have signed somebody.
They've signed Jack Bird.
Wow.
Jack Bird. Say it again. Jack Bird.
I think they paid over the
value, but that's my opinion. But apparently there's a gentleman's agreement that the club that signs under the nose of another team sometimes, and particularly the fans who don't know, the right to announce. But Cronulla have come out with their own press release.
I think that's horse crap, that unspoken agreement. I don't like it. No. I reckon if you're seething inside and really upset that someone's stolen your player, you should be able to put out a press release.
Yes. Absolutely. The childishness of rugby league should stand tall and proud.
It should. I just don't like. I don't like gentlemen. So, I don't like unwritten rules, generally speaking. If it's not written, it's not a rule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So correct me if I'm wrong, and I know that seldom happens, but is it actually under this cooling off period that the club who has signed the player is unable to make the announcement?
Yeah.
But it's the gentle person's agreement.
Yes.
In relation to the club who's lost him.
Yes.
So the Sharks here are being, dare I say, childish.
Yes.
And they said, despite our best endeavours. You know, echoing back to the good old days of Endeavour Field.
And
offering
Captain
Jack, so much money you couldn't
despite
actually...
Despite their best remondus.
Yeah, exactly right. You couldn't fit it into a waste disposal container, so much money.
Despite their best Caltex,
yeah. And there's not an extra dollar could offer him. He's, pissed off up to the...
We could go with this joke all day. Ronson.
Churlish and Charlie. You know, he's hopped in his Toyota off he's gone.
Right, okay. Now, I would have thought, who could forget Anthony Mundine being paraded? Or it wasn't Craig Wing paraded?
Craig Wing was very much paraded.
Yeah, paraded by the gloating buying team. And, you know, we know that there are gloating team up in Brisbane where they've got a lot of hubris, you know.
It only upsets one group of people in all the game and all the population, the supporters of the team you're leaving.
Exactly.
It's only, the whole, everything is, all these rules are just built around not upsetting.
The fan.
Upsetting, yeah. So in that case, the St. George fans when Mundine went up or whatever. And I'm not really sure we should be pandering just to like 1/16 of our supporter base. Like
Who are we pandering to?
If they get fired up, how ridiculous is it that we're talking about who's playing for who next year and some provincial game between New South Wales and Queensland in 6 weeks?
That's
when there are 8 matches on every weekend.
Yeah.
So our defence for allowing this to happen is that it keeps other sports off the back page.
Yes.
But we can't have Jack Bird announced as joining Brisbane. That's terrible.
Yes.
Isn't the same excuse apply? Oh, keeps AFL off the back page.
And isn't that the only reason why the West Tigers exist? So it can spread 6 pages every week
and talk
about why they're buggered.
I mean, you could use that excuse for anything. You know, players are spontaneously combusting as they walk down the street. Keeps AFL off the back page.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that's a good thing.
But this is the debate that Andrew Webster and Paul Kent were having the other day, where Andrew Webster, who happens to be Fairfax, says exactly what you're saying, as opposed to Kent, who's News Limited, saying it's great to have it.
That's a conspiracy theory. I think it's just their personal opinion.
This is not coming from editorial in any way, is that?
No. Do you think Rupert Murdoch rings up Paul Kent and says, look, I don't think we like this trade period,
that's
Paul?
Interesting,
you know,
I guess
if you work at the new Fox 24-hour station...
I'd like to.
You just bagged them. But, you know, it's good for them. I mean, apparently their ratings have been going through the roof because of all this Joe Blow's going to whoop whoop next year stuff that's going on.
So, Steve, if I could, have you ever had any editorial interference?
No.
Ever?
No. But
never?
No, even when I worked at... When I say editorial interference, I've never been...
Guidance. direction?
I've had when I was at News Limited, I had stories changed in a way that I didn't like, but not often, like maybe twice in all the time I was there.
God, you're really spiking a few perception of balloons here, aren't you?
Well, no, that's true. I haven't, and I've certainly had no one say write a negative story about that person or write a positive story about that person. I have had stories not get a run that I thought were balanced, but my editor thought they were representing an agenda that the paper didn't represent. So that happened to me a couple of times when I was there. But as for like having stories, like being told what to write, I've had stories beaten up or rewritten when I was at News, that probably only happened twice in the 3 years I was there.
It's pretty good because Stephen tells me what to say all the time.
Mm. Which one, me or him?
Well, at the moment I feel
the overlord over here. Yeah.
I mean, I would defer to you, and I fear him. Yeah. So, you know.
Please don't talk about the West Tigers anymore. On that note, we'll come back and we'll talk about Paul Gallen's reaction to Jack Bird.
Fired up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fired up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
FBI Radio would like to warn listeners that the following program contains some sporting cliches, lowbrow humor, baseless defamatory remarks, and is not considered suitable for anyone over an IQ of 75.
Just a fair warning, the management came to me and said, look, there are kiddies listening today, it's Good Friday, so just be careful what you talk about, and we've already crossed a few lines apparently. Chris, go.
Really? Which particular lines have we crossed this week?
Well, there are plenty of kiddies trying to sort of knock down the doors to get in to say that they've got some heroes, which is none of our business. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we shouldn't be telling kids who to like.
Or who not to like, Go Craig Bellamy. This is Fire Up on... we're the only people working today.
Don't you love it? Don't you feel like you're broadcasting to nobody?
Yes, I do.
Which I feel like that every week, no, but...
Text message 0409-945...
Let us know you're out there. Anybody. Five. Tickets to win.
Paul Gallen, in response to this, he came out with some... I think Paul Gallen really is the great voice of modern rugby league. You know, when it needs to be said directly, he knows what's happening. The tension between Brisbane and Cronulla escalated because of Jack Bird's defection, as they said. And the Broncos were furious, of course, because they're the Broncos. The Sharks weren't so much furious, it's just a bit disappointed. Why were they disappointed, Chris?
The Sharks disappointed at the loss of Jack Bird?
Yeah. Jack Bird was originally a St. George
junior. Oh, here we go.
Wasn't it's from Berkeley. He's a Berkeley Eagle.
Isn't Wayne Bennett claiming that
Wayne Bennett's claiming he introduced him
Bird
to the team.
Is mine.
Yeah, right, Wayne.
So Cronulla was just a whistle stop along the way that turned him in from a nothing player into an Origin player and an international. Is that right?
That's right. Cronulla said, our club has today been advised that regardless of our best efforts to retain him, Jack Bird has accepted a multi-year contract to the Brisbane Broncos, despite our club making the highest ever financial offer. Why would you do that? Is Jack Bird really worth that sort of money?
Well, I think Cronulla's cheap. So I think the fact that their highest offer would sort of be mid-range in one of those million-dollar clubs like the Dragons.
That that's why most of us were rooting for Cronulla last year, because they represent what is the true values of rugby league today. Would you not agree, Steve?
Yeah, the funny thing about Cronulla is their fans complain that everyone else didn't cheer for them. And they, you know, that their fans claim that Sydney and New South Wales should have got behind them, and they were the only
team
left.
Rubbish.
but they didn't. I don't know, did they? Did people still think hold the peptide thing against them? Do you think
a little bit? Though when you're actually out there at the game, I mean, you're right. They have represented what rugby league is. You know, 50 years of sustained mediocrity. But
yes,
but.
And niggle,
you get
nastiness, tawdry behaviour,
bending the rules,
doing whatever it takes to get through,
allowing a guy like Flanagan back into the joint, it was good
beating Melbourne,
exactly.
They're kind of like the working class Manly, aren't they?
They are. Exactly right. They took over Manly's mantle, didn't they?
Yeah. But I think it's also that people don't 100% embrace the Sharks because Australians that don't surf kind of fear Australians who can. I feel a great inadequacy that I actually can't get up on a board, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you look like you can, though.
Well, no.
The bleached hair, you look like...
Yeah, the hair is fine, but the mechanics of the body, I mean, how many international surfers are basically 2 metres tall? You know, point taken, right?
Yes, that's right. They're all little squat guys with bow legs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Low center of gravity.
Sterlo would be an incredible surfer.
You've been eating the mother of all surfboards to get up, wouldn't you?
Now,
speaking of mothers, I mean, of all things, you know, the big bomb that was dropped overnight by Trump, the mother of all bombs. I mean, doesn't Gallen come across as a bit presidential these days in what he's saying?
Well, this is the whole story.
Welcome to the new military satire show. Fire up on FBI.
Well, Gal has been evolving
just from fire.
This grubby little sort of... this little sort of cocoon thing into this butterfly flowering into a presidential, status. So, but something like this comes along and he can't help himself, can he?
No, well, I mean, you know, here's the bird situation. Mm. And he goes, to be honest, I don't think it hurts us too much at all. I'm disappointed he's gone. I would love him to stay. But there's always another superstar coming along. That's someone who's seeing the bigger picture, who's seeing the end of their career,
yes,
needs a job as an ambassador.
Is
for
it
the
not
game.
Someone just putting the niggle into, putting the dig in
and
the wrist? All,
and it's that clever ability to appear above it all, but actually have
and
a dig.
And dismiss.
Right.
And have a dig at the same right. time. Yeah.
But under pressure, i.e. the pouring torrential rain down at Amy Park last weekend,
yeah,
in a ding-dong grand final rematch between the Sharks and the Storms,
yes,
people do revert to type, and they become, dare I say, a little bit childish, Steve.
Yes, they do. He says there'll be another Jack Bird coming along. There'll be another three or four high-quality centres off contract so we can go and chase. So we don't care.
Does that include Chase Blair? No, he's probably still there.
I don't really care where he plays for the Broncos. I think his best position for our club is right centre, which he's done a terrific job the last... It's basically, say, see you later. Bye.
That's that. Thanks very much. That's, Steve, that's that whole centre versus fullback money debate. Do you buy into that?
Well, yeah, the story for the listeners who aren't following it, and I'd probably be the listener who's following it the least because the player transfer market bores me. But anyway, so Jack Bird wants to be closer to the football. You know, so
huh.
I mean, you could just give him one for the rest of the week.
Yes, that's right. Just a hug at night, go to bed with.
But so and apparently Brisbane have sort of undertaken that he'll be playing in the halves with Anthony Milford. But a lot of people, even Ben Ike and Wayne Bennett's own son-in-law, said last night, mm-hmm, "Well, Wayne's got a way of selling these things, and when you actually get there, it may not actually work out that way."
How's that Benji Marshall thing working out?
Yeah, well, it's not. I mean, he's playing Intrust Super Cup, isn't he?
Busted wrist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Broke it for the Dolphins, and then of course there's the Nicarima factor. There's many factors at work here.
Mm.
But I mean, if you want
is
to get
the Intrust Super Cup on this program, or is it the Queensland Cup?
So it's the Intrust Super Cup, Queensland, and the Intrust Super Premiership
down here,
New South Wales.
How That's do you two know that?
Because one of us is paid to know that.
And it's not me.
Well, they made it clear. I mean, it's like this. It's like dating a girl. You've got two other girls in front of you, but the third one, if you won't go out with me and you won't go out with me, well, I'll take you out to the dance.
I've never had that option, Benny.
Well, no, you take the number one. You know, you take the third option, and yeah, you don't feel very...
What the hell's he talking about? Benny Elias there. Is he not the greatest salesman or the worst salesman for your team, your beloved West Tigers?
Look, Steve Mascord did magnificent work on NRL 360, and for some reason I haven't seen you on this year, and we're seeing Benny Elias back on the show, which I don't know what's going on in editorial over there.
I know who needs the money more.
Yeah. I'm again hurting my chances on Fox League here, but Benny's come on to pontificate as one of the legends, and he's actually talking about Mitchell Moses' reaction to having his contract, which had been on the table for 6 months, taken off the table with the arrival of the plumber, Ivan Cleary, who's going to remove the blockages that are in the West Tigers
the
that he
plumber,
sees,
right,
and prioritise the money for Woods and Tedesco. And
what was the question?
So the question is, what's he talking about?
Yes.
And he says, Mitchell felt like the third option, because Benny's been in that situation where he's had at least three girls to take out.
Yes, yes.
And he has to prioritise them in terms of invitation, realising the impact he might have on girl number three will be materially affected if he's asked the other two girls first and they've rejected him.
And they know about it.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a clear wisdom of the game.
Yeah. Now, you sent me some articles about some team called the West Tigers and their weekly, daily, minute-by-minute soap opera. It's taken up half a forest. I've printed them out. I've got the West Tigers chairman, Marina Goh. Say she's still judged as a woman in league. She doesn't shy away from publicity, though, does she?
No, as the kids say today, big ups to Stuart McLennan, who actually did that Q&A with Marina Goh for rugbyleaguehub.com, and it sort of kicked off a bit of a spiral of publicity for a few days. And she did say, well, she said that, why do you think you get so much publicity? She said, it's because I'm a woman. Let's just say it. A lot of the commentary is, rubbish or whatever. And one of her defences was, I didn't say it was about criticism, but she actually referenced the criticism immediately in her answer. It was a soft question, but she gave a very hard answer.
Steve, you just answered my question
here,
in that it's... Peter Dowse doesn't give interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Thank God for that.
There are many CEOs that don't give interviews.
And she's actually the chairman. But in many ways...
Administrator.
The chairman were pretty much faceless only about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And now they've got this chairman's group. It's like if you had, all the embassies in Canberra, and they suddenly had a janitors group or something, and suddenly they've got power. They're lobbying so I'm not saying that janitors in Canberra are, well, they probably do have as much power as NRL, but Yeah, so this group started, and I think a lot of it kind of went to their heads a bit. So now, whereas being a chairman of an NRL club was, you know, remember Warren Lockwood did it for years at St. George and St. George Illawarra, and
most people go, who?
Yeah, you don't know. But now they're kind of, they're the new rock stars, you know what I mean?
You're talking about the Politises, the Dibs.
Even Nick Politis, everyone knows who he is, but he doesn't speak very often, does he? Nick Pappas is now, Nick Pappas speaks mostly on Twitter, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with her being honest and upfront. I don't really. A lot of people say, oh, she shouldn't be photographed hugging players and stuff like that. But I guess if you do that, you've got to be ready for the criticism. If you're going to stick your nose
arrows,
out, you're going to stick.
Well, this article is full of just beautiful psychobabble. It says here, first of all, Cleary goes, the star of the team is the team, right?
Point one.
And then he goes, change is not necessarily comfortable. So we could be writing these things down, you know, for our own life, their life lessons.
That is an interview with Ivan Cleary done by Michael Chambers, is it? Or?
That's right.
Yes, and plenty of quotes from the Go as well.
Are you saying, you're not saying he writes the story before the interview, eh?
No, I'm saying that I knew that interview was done. No, what I'm doing, Michael, I'm sorry, I didn't read it. So that's why I wasn't sure if it was.
I'll read part of it. It's very long.
Can I just say that if we lose, and by we, I'm talking about the West Tigers, if we lose Moses, Tedesco and Woods, the only star of the team could be the team, because without stars. Yeah, yeah. We'll be an empty constellation.
Yes, can I give you some advice here, Chris?
Please.
St. George is now playing like a team. No stars. Number one on the ladder. Okay.
That Gareth Widdop's playing like a star.
He's playing well, but he's off contract and leaving.
Yeah, but he's not the big one.
To the Tigers, I hope. Possibly.
But he can go. We'll be fine with it.
Oh, it's like that. I'll be disappointed. We're St. George, we'll be all right. Isn't that Trent Robinson's comment?
We love you, Gareth.
We'll be fine. We're the Roosters. Are you in that level now?
No.
Okay, go on.
And on it goes. Change is not necessarily comfortable, so that's nice to know.
Sure.
Now, there was a big meeting recently of the club power brokers at West Asphill, and it all was pulled apart. The comment was that they were a rabble, and they needed to get down some hard-nosed football decisions. And this is just going through this article here. They were a basket case. They were dysfunctional. And people were assuming Marina comes in and says, they thought I was a moron. But she says, what is success? Success is finals footy. That's her piece of wisdom. Finals footy.
Yeah, even though they're on a mission to be the number one sporting organisation in Australia.
Yes.
Mm. I just like the basket case thing. If anyone ever says it, she kind of, you know, she burrs up and she's like, we're not a basket case. But it's like basket case can actually be sort of independently measured by some sort of mathematical indices. Like, it's such a general term, you know, isn't it? Like, a basket case means what? You know, four players arrested in the last 6 months.
Yes. Is that a term we is PC? Can we say that these days? Your basket case?
Yeah.
Is that offending anybody?
What are the origins of
I don't know.
It's offending Marina,
aren't they? Yeah, it's definitely offending
Marina. Well, she's referring to the football team as a basket case. So who's offended? That's probably why the big four are leaving.
Right, so she was of that view before she arrived.
Yeah, yeah. They were rabble, and dysfunctional, basket case.
And now
she's back. They've got a three-year plan, and finals footy is the goal, and that will be winning.
There's not a bit of transfer onto the team here as opposed to the board that led to the coach and the four key players being off contract at the same time.
And they said Jason was appropriate for the time, and now Ivan's appropriate for the time. He comes in, and he said they're on a journey, and he brings values. So we're getting into some hairy, serious stuff here. He goes, the right people for the right time. That was Jason. Now Ivan's the right person for the right time. He's got the skills to communicate, which apparently Jason didn't have the skills to communicate. As a club, it says that we had to grow up that day, that specific turning point day. And then we had someone deliberately throwing missiles into the camp.
This is where I was a little upset, because I read this part of the interview and I had to go through a reference to somebody, someone, him.
Yes.
Before I got to who somebody was.
And then it wasn't a missile, then it was a bomb.
It was
someone throwing a bomb.
It was Robbie Farah.
You can't throw a bomb back, because there's no way we would have said anything negative about him, you know. We'll never disrespect him. Says Robbie, and of course, you know, respect is a personal issue. And anyway, we're just going on and on and on. There's column after column after column of Marina Go and Ivan Cleary talking about these values and what they're going to do. Just do it.
And they did. They went out and beat the North Queensland Cowboys, even with Tedesco's pants down.
Right.
And was there anything more poignant, again, than having seen JT, as in not Thurston's calf, which popped, but Jason Taylor on the expert panel, part of the interview to Mitchell Moses? Didn't say anything, of course, but Yvonne Sampson did say, what was the difference out there today to Jason Taylor? Uh-huh. I mean...
Yeah.
But the players are apparently furious that he's now analysing their performance. I mean, the kid's got to get a job.
Mm.
I mean, how can we be furious about that?
Mm.
I mean, you know, it's a tough...
I would have thought people would be giving him a rap for fronting up a week later and starting his new career and not shying away from... maybe they kind of think he should have shied away from it. That it was, you know, again, one of these unspoken rules that aren't really rules.
What are the rules?
You don't like it, do you, Steve?
What are the rules? But I tell you, the big difference in Jason Taylor I noticed over the week was he gave the first interview on League Life and he was just developing a bit of a mullet. And by the time he went on to the expert panel on Saturday night, the mullet is gone. He's back in the group.
On your advice.
Welcome back to Rugby League, Jason Taylor.
Now, it doesn't stop there. Into the fray steps a fellow called Pascoe. Who's he?
He's our CEO.
Of course he is. He comes in and goes, "We will no longer accept mediocrity as the benchmark of this club. It's Churchillian." Right? Maybe that's what did it, you know. And then he goes on to say, they demand an organisation that is comfortable about being uncomfortable. It never and I'm on to the, I haven't even got to the last page yet, Chris.
Well, you know, as a Tigers fan, like the Sharks, I kind of go for mediocrity given some of our performances over recent
times.
Exactly. You know, so let's not get ahead of ourselves, Justin.
No. A lot of people are saying that, like, West Tigers, they always talk about Perth and the Western Force shutting down.
The West Coast Pirates.
That the West Tigers should go to Perth and they wouldn't have to change their name. But that would work.
Very nice.
They could go to West Brisbane. They could go to West Wellington, West Central Queensland.
Yeah.
They could still keep the same name.
Could I phone in?
Is that west of where we are, I suppose?
Could I phone in if we went to Perth? And would I still be able to be on the show?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'd have to move.
That's the thing. They'd be here every second week. You'd probably go to see them more anyway, wouldn't you? I mean...
But then I'd have to go to opposition grounds, Steve.
This is fire up.
I wouldn't feel welcome.
Steve Mascord. I don't know what the hell's going on. I've lost control of this rabble here. This is dysfunctional. It's no good.
It's a basket case.
And it's fair to middling Friday.
Hand it back to the ladies, I say.
It's a pretty big one when the dummy half can't get to dummy half and they pick it up and score. That's ridiculous. Mind-boggling. I've never seen it before. Like, you can't do it. Jason Nightingale shoved him out of the road to get to dummy half. That didn't cost us a game, but Jesus, didn't help. Like, that's... We were flat off the kickoff, and then to cop that on the end of that is very deflating. Like, how they gave that a try is beyond me. I'm not making excuses for the rest of our bloody 75 minutes, but they don't know. That was underage stuff.
Well, spoken like a true defeated ex-player coaching a new team and defeated by your ex-team.
There's got to be an investigation.
Was that St George Illawarra Baz?
Hey, and what's that? What's that noise? Doing a saint,
marching in a... Have a night.
St George, the mighty St George Illawarra Dragons, defeated Manly last week at the
Fortress Lotto Land.
Fortress Lotto Land.
Was that Illawarra Baz, St George Illawarra Baz, or would you suggest Cronulla Baz? Just a whinging kid.
Oh, yeah.
Under eight stuff.
Couldn't
it's
let
a kid's
it go.
Game. Come on, Baz.
Couldn't let it go, could he?
I mean, how did we all see that? I mean, you couldn't go to the bunker.
The touchies should have reported it, surely. Yeah. Surely.
If DCE... So you can't go to the bunker because it's before the play the ball.
Yeah.
So the bunker has nothing to do in this.
Let's just backpedal a little bit, right?
Sure.
Normally in a situation where you're running through, some sort of altercation occurs.
Does every listener know what we're talking about?
Describe the scenario. That's what I'm trying to do.
So Manly are playing the ball on their own line.
Yes.
As this is happening, Jason Nightingale from St George Illawarra and... Daly Cherry Evans from Manly get tangled up near the sideline. Daly Cherry Evans appears to be the person most likely to go into dummy half. No one goes in dummy half. Gareth Widdop reaches around, picks up the ball, dives over for a try.
Because there's no one there.
That's no one there.
Yeah, yes. I would hazard a guess here and say that if you were deliberately held as opposed to an altercation where there are two parties involved, it's open slather. Fair game. And I would also suggest that the team that hasn't got a dummy half should spot that and put somebody in there, whereas DCE's response was hilariously, that's my position. Well, it's not because you weren't there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't own the position.
I still think if the touchies had reported it to the referee, the try probably wouldn't have been allowed.
But reported what, though?
Well, that there was this altercation.
Yes, I wouldn't necessarily say that Nightingale deliberately just held him. I think they had an altercation, and then he... scuffled a bit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, listening to you, I'm starting to see what Trent Barrett was talking about.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
I'm taking his side.
Yeah.
Didn't win by enough.
In a rare moment of seriousness about rugby league, can I say the difference in your boys this year is surely summarised by Widdop's try just before full time, where he's kicked through and just grounded the ball inside the dead ball line.
That extra
where
centimetre.
Nothing was at stake, except for and against, I guess.
Yeah.
But it makes you think, it makes you think that how many coaches, good coaches, get sacked? I mean, like Paul McGregor was seen as being legless a year ago as a coach or whatever.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah, 6 weeks ago it was, you know, and look at him now. He's like going to get an extension. You know, you just, I don't know, I think we estimate the importance of coaches across the board, you know.
Mark $2 coin says there's no rush, though, to sign an extension for Mary for some reason. And Dousty's saying nothing, as per usual. So I don't know what the situation is there, but it's all coming up roses for Mary right now.
Now, Bass was once famously slapped.
He was.
Trent Barrett, slapped by Nathan Brown. That was the slap that was heard around the world, or was it not?
Certainly heard around the Illawarra.
Yes, it was.
Because, you know, Wynn Stadium, it's kind of like you sort of, that sound sort of cascades up the hills, doesn't it?
What other great slaps? So Tommy Radonich is, of course, the famous slapper.
So judging by the new NRL rule, if that had happened today, Nathan Brown would have been sent on.
Yes, because he was off the field.
He'd go on the field for 10 minutes.
Yes. Sin included, not sin binned. Yeah.
didn't Jonathan Thurston get a sneaky one in on Bo Scott, in an Origin game?
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And then, of course, more recently, Clemmer. DCA.
Yeah. And it was the heat of the moment, passion, et cetera, et cetera. Footy players get a head of steam up, you know, and a little slap goes out. And the comment by Nate Miles, of course, is famously used his head in all sorts of mysterious ways to get his way in State of Origin. Didn't like it, did he?
No.
He said
that if you were walking down the street and you got punched, and you're walking down the street and you got slapped, the perpetrator would probably cop the same punishment.
So this is like street rules, like pub rules, you know.
Yeah.
Dare I suggest that if this happened in King's Cross and you got slapped, would we have the lockout laws today?
Probably not.
No. No one's ever talked about the, you know, the one slap killer.
No, they haven't, have they?
No.
No. So I don't think they're quite the same, Nate.
No.
I think if someone slaps somebody, you go, oh, gee whiz, that's a bit hard. If they punched you, you'd be up for assault, and the police would be involved.
But the question is, you know, which other little niggly tactic will take the place of the, and how ridiculous will it get? Obviously, we're talking about, well, I said it. It was a clickbait story yesterday. It said, forget the slap. The tactic Wayne Bennett hates, and on principle, I did not click on that.
Yes.
But I've been told by someone who did click on it, i.e., Chris Gayle.
It's a thing.
And I think that'll be the next thing, and then you can keep going all the way down the line. Like, it's calling names.
Can I reveal what it is?
Yeah.
It's the condescending head pat.
Mm-hmm. Justin Hodges was an expert at it.
That's right. So when you know, you cough up the ball, and an opposition player comes and pats you on the head.
But doesn't this come under general niggle?
Does.
You know, niggle merchants have got away with all this stuff to upset. I mean, where would Australian cricket be without a little bit of...
How long before shouting Chewy on your boot gets you a 6-week suspension?
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, it's just going in that direction.
Is there a rule book that has all the practices? The squirrel grip.
Yeah.
What happens to that?
Well that's surely worse. If you did that on the street...
Surely.
Well, there's one or two streets where it'd be welcome, but generally speaking...
Outlawed. Or not appreciated, thank you very much. Yeah. What about a finger up the date? Hopper style. Is that outlawed?
I think I don't think it's got its own clause.
No, okay.
But I think it's captured under the general conditions.
But hopefully not.
I think one of the things that came out of the census, apart from the fact that technology doesn't work, is Australians are concerned that technology is taking over their jobs.
Yes, indeed.
And I mean,
and it
is. With the intrusive nature of all these cameras and matters like the bunker, I mean, the structural unemployment for niggle merchants in the game.
Yes, it's
I mean, they're going the same way as the big guy used to throw.
Is there a machine that generates sledges, though?
No wonder Michael Ennis retired. Because he can see this coming.
There you go, man of the future.
Take away the slap, albeit Benji perpetrated on him recently. Take away the slap, take away the head pat, you take away Ennis's mojo, his reason for playing.
The new Sledge-O-Matic. Can't think of something clever to say?
Exactly. Just go and press the button on your app.
And you can keep it conveniently in your sock.
Yes, exactly.
And we need some innovation here, because when it got a little bit willing down at Amy Park, all we got from Will Chambers on Gal was drug treat expletive. And all Gal could come back with was strip premierships.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking
English players are far more clever. Like this morning, if you know who Stuart Cummings is, he is the referee who's part of the commentary team in England. And Gareth Carvel, the big Hull prop, he tweeted this morning, is there any chance Stuart Cummings will say the referee was wrong? More chance of plating snot.
That's the stuff we need in our game. And don't they operate on a salary cap about the third of ours? Is that right?
Yeah.
How is that? That's tremendous.
Plating snot. That's awesome.
Yes. So is this a little bit like, you know, we're all aware here that the future of spinal injuries is going to change the game because of America and litigation. Is this like the butterfly that flapped its wings, the head?
I think it's the head. I don't want to go on an anatomy lesson.
Yes, yeah. Okay. The butterfly effect of the slap stops here, does it then progress into other codes? Does any other code have such a thing where they ban slapping, niggling, sledging?
Well, they won't from AFL because that's all they do.
Well, you know, maybe you'll get players, there'll be a player drain because everyone wants to slap and they'll desert the NRL.
Right.
And when they sign with Wigan, they'll say, I just wanted to go back to slapping players. I missed it. You know?
Well, I mean, but there's one extrapolation going into Steve's theory about the death of rugby league, that the defining moment of the death of sport was Clemmer slapping DCE. And it's put us on a pathway that we'll never get back from.
Never return to. Exactly. We're going to play a track. Steve's brought in a track. We're going to tempt fate here.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. So, now, Steve, Steel Panther, what sort of band are they?
Steel Panther are a parody hair metal band.
They're
not misogynistic. They are pillorying misogynistic 80s music. There's a difference.
So, disclaimer? Will the kiddies be upset? Will the ladies be upset?
Well, I thought what we were going to do, because last time there was a diplomatic incident, yes, when I played Steel Panther on this program, it was the only time the podcast has ever been edited.
Yes.
Let's see how far we get. Yeah, what I thought we'd do is to have like a buzzer, yeah, and we'll see how far we get.
We just got Barack Obama waiting, ready to go.
People in New York City, I asked them, are you fired up? And they were all fired up. And I asked them, are you ready to go? And they're all ready to go.
I say to you, Chris and Steve, where else can you go from Steel Panther to Maxine Nightingale in the blink of an eye?
You know, I deliberately didn't play Poontang Boomerang because I thought... I let you pick a song that, yes, looked inoffensive.
And we warned the kiddies. There was a couple of drug references, but they're out. You know, they get it, you know. They're saying, more please, more Steel Panther on FBI.
That's
what
right.
we want.
There are multiple drug references in this next 20 seconds.
Yes, multiple. Now, the couple of little points, Chris. We had Nathan Brown there, and you know, the slap and all the rest of it.
But, and we've been asked to talk about Newcastle.
He was complaining. Mick from where are you? From Bankstown. We're going to talk about Newcastle. He was complaining.
He was complaining that they're not getting the 50-50 calls right now because they're perceived by the officialdom as maybe a lower-ranked team.
Yes,
and in the Sione Mataudia try that was ultimately disallowed, he said they had to keep looking at it to find a no-try, and after 85,000 looks at it, they found a no-try, which must have been a thrilling... I wasn't watching the game.
I told Nathan Browns a million times not to exaggerate.
Yes, exactly. And a week later, he's still looking.
He's not listening to you, Steve.
Kerry Packer, he was good during the week.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's good to see Big Kezza.
Big yardage up the middle.
Big yardage, man. Yeah, that's nice. Latrell.
Latrell.
Not rested.
We talked about the great philosophical questions in the game. Let's add another one. Yeah. Steve, I don't know if you've got a comment. What's the difference between being dropped and being rested?
What is the difference between being dropped and being rested? Mm. You don't have to play reserve grade.
That's the correct answer. Yeah, Latrell Mitchell's not playing for anyone.
No.
Nor is Nate Miles this week because they need to rest his knee. Mm-hmm. He's obsessed with what's going on in the hands, but you know, he's always better known for what's gone on downstairs.
Mm. Now, some big news about the Big Four or the Big Three or the Big Two or whatever. So they've got a share house. It's a party house in Hunters Hill. It's a mansion like the Playboy Mansion, isn't it, Chris? Overlooks the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's Brooks, Moses and Tedesco because Aaron Woods, as he's always keen to point out, is in domestic bliss.
Right.
Though, that, as you said, that would have added a beautiful X factor to the...
They could have a wing.
The Big Four, where one of the Big Four is married. I mean, that's a sitcom waiting to be written.
It is a TV show, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, Brooks, Moses and Tedesco, they're luxuriating in their Hunters Hill mansion as we speak.
Who wouldn't watch that show, Steve?
It's awesome, yeah. It's like Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, isn't it?
It is, really? Isn't it? Yeah. Big Brother and Rugby League.
I really like Nick and Sophie. I thought they were great, those kids.
Yeah.
Shannon, I'm not so sure.
Not so sure.
By the way, Gene...
The plastic surgery episode was a bit icky.
It was. Well, I tell you what, I thought that was amazing because anyone who wants to get plastic surgery, and let's face it, I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
The graphic nature where Gene Simmons allowed himself to be shown being sliced and diced, and then he looked like some sort of Buddha statue afterwards, was actually really compelling
and
illustrative. And he's a man that keeps giving.
The kiddies are just turned off.
You know, seriously.
But what about, it was the most unreal reality show ever. There was one time when he actually owned an AFL team in it. I'm like, if this happened, I would know about it, if Gene Simmons had owned an AFL team.
Yeah.
So they just completely set up the whole thing, you know, and basically he sold off the narratives, didn't he? Like, it was like, let's go to some island in the Caribbean for a business meeting. And the business meeting was, let's shoot an episode there and pay me for
it. That's right. He's
a cunning operator, isn't he?
But I quickly want to get back on a rugby league, but I just finally want to say on Gene Simmons, did you see him? He spontaneously spoke at Chuck Berry's funeral.
Yes.
And he blubbed like a baby. So, never met Chuck, but he changed my life, changed the world, changed the whole race.
Wow.
Divide, and you know, nothing like seeing the demon.
He's not that loved, is he?
He's a complicated man.
No, well, you know, Triple M, who I'm working for tonight at up at Newcastle.
Who's playing tonight?
Triple M,
Newcastle playing the Roosters tonight, and I'm going to try not to be scooped by Twitter this week, because last week I went to the bench to ask about David Clemmer. They wouldn't tell me anything, and I said that he might be back, and they'd already tweeted that he won't be back with this ankle injury. So being a silent eye now just involves monitoring Twitter.
Talking about the weather, isn't it? That's the main thing you get asked. What's it like down there?
Don't know, Steve, you're usually the man on the field, aren't you?
I'm down below? I'm third or fourth string sideline eye.
Yeah. But when they want the serious stuff, they go to you, right?
No, not really. They don't go to me at all. But, I can't remember. What were we talking about?
They don't want plastic surgery.
Triple M won't play Kiss because he said, you're depressed? Go and kill yourself. Remember he said that?
That's right, yeah.
And so Triple M won't, to the extent that they won't even accept it, they don't want anything on Ace Frehley. I'm like, Ace Frehley's not in Kiss anymore.
No.
Does he have to be included in Gene Simmons' band?
So that sort of comment has put him on the wrong side of Julia Gillard.
Mm.
Yeah, and her new role.
Right, that's right. She's taking over from Kiss.
She won't have a... Gene's not coming on board.
Is she the new Australian ambassador to Kiss?
No, she is the ambassador for the unit that looks after depression.
All right.
Beyond Blue.
Thank you very much, Chris. So, this household... In Hunters Hill, this very big mansion, right? With how many cars? What sort of cars do they drive, Chris? Beamers, Rolls, Audis, black, tinted windows?
First of all, we know they'd be convertibles.
Yeah, convertibles.
Audi convertible seems about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, jet skis?
Each.
In the garage? Each, yeah. Now, if they don't want plastic surgery, what about orthodontic work? There's a fair bit of teeth action going on there, isn't there?
Let me tell you, that's the great thing about living in Hunters Hill.
Yes.
Every professional service is at your doorstep.
Right there. Yeah. Just your neighbour.
They all do house calls.
Yeah. Find a dentist, you know, surgeon. Yeah. And so what sort of breakfast, what would they have? The three of them sitting around, they'd be watching, what, Channel 7, 9, Chucklehead News?
Probably probably Fox League on the off chance
Fox League, yeah.
See an article about themselves.
And they'd be eating what?
As you pointed out, paleo pear and banana bread. Hello to the Department of Finance, exactly, who are our sponsors, yeah. Steve. Did you know that?
Department of Finance.
Department of Finance is sponsoring Fire Up this year.
What would we call this show? I know this is kind of like putting you on the spot a bit, but what would you call this show?
Budgetary Discipline.
All right. I was actually talking about the reality show in their house.
All right. That's what I call it. Budgetary Discipline, starring Brooks, Moses and Tedesco.
Who wanted a fee to come on Fire Up?
Who wanted what?
A fee to come on Fire
Up.
Oh,
the mole.
The mole wanted a fee. Did you tell him you get a percentage of our earnings?
I told him he'd get us paid exactly the same.
To be fair,
paid.
The mole is unemployed at the moment. Oh. You know.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
We're giving Steve 15%.
I reckon Steve's been so good this morning. Yeah. Let's give him
20%. Exactly. Yeah. Did you pay for his coffees?
Actually, I don't think I did.
You pay me what you normally pay in because I've been talking over him for the last hour. So.
I don't get paid this week.
Speaking of, I call you the rugby league polymath, Steve. What's happening at the moment in the time that we haven't got left?
This is the plug bit of the program. I'm working on a book, and I'd love to come back in when it comes out. It's coming out in June, and it's basically me arguing with myself over 70,000 words.
Yes.
But as part of it, I actually went to a gig and a game every week for 52 weeks. And finding rugby league in December is very hard. And it's just
a gig and a game.
Every week.
That's the title. Weeks. A gig and a game per week.
It could be the title. Yeah, okay. And I believe I just got it in time because apparently the French season is now moving later in the year, so I wouldn't have been able to have that week in France. So,
and
So that's coming out. I'm also working on a project called. Well, you know, I years ago come up with the name Hot Metal for the great magazine, the much missed magazine, and it's still. And it still exists. Hey, no one else thought of it. It was $9.89. So you know, Yeah, so it's a website, hotmetalonline.com, but we're actually doing news a news package with Dave Eastgate, who's a well-known comedian. He's also an actor. He's in Doctor, and we're doing serious news and then gags, like the new Aerosmith album's called Music from Another Dementia or something like that. Right. You know what I mean?
So like show. Yeah. Serious news and gags.
And gags.
Yeah, serious news and gags. So, and what else am I doing? I'm doing columns for Sydney Morning Herald. I'm doing Stupid Saturday blog. If you can't get to a Fox TV and you want to follow the games on Saturday, Stupid Saturday.
Steve, you must have your beautiful wife must be very understanding, or she really must be into footy as well.
She doesn't. She you know what? She's the same with music as she is with rugby league. She'll go and she'll go, that was a crap game. Or she'll go, that was a great game. She'll go and see a band, you know, and she'll go, I like them, I didn't like them, they're terrible.
Okay, value.
But she's not into either thing enormously.
Yeah. Are you saying you're like every six-year-old, every game and every band is great?
Not really, no. No, not every. No, a lot of rugby league games are boring. But like, for instance, I'm going to see the first Toronto Wolfpack home game in 2 weeks, and I said, and then I'm going to the UK. I'm getting my citizenship. I'm going to swear allegiance to the Queen, which is awesome. But I'm getting my UK citizenship. I'm very happy about it. But I said to Sarah, you know, she said, oh, it's hard to organise the flights. You know, and I said, well, just don't go to the Wolfpack game. I'll just meet you afterwards. She's like, no, I want to go. Yeah. You know, which I thought was great. You know, like,
can you just ask the Queen when you're there to give back the six counties in Northern Ireland back, please, to the Irish?
Oh yeah, well, on her behalf, she's
we're
Irish.
Really happy.
Yeah. So I don't think my wife would actually pledge allegiance to the Queen on my behalf.
No,
she'd rather me not be a UK citizen. If she had to pledge allegiance to the Queen, she'd have for me to not get my passport because she's
like
Irish.
A fighter, that one.
She's Irish.
Can she come in and plug the book?
Thank you very much. Any other games on the weekend, Chris, that we want to talk about? Just quickly, who's on?
No, not really. not really. Who have you got?
Who have we got? I'm not sure.
We got the Eels at the Easter Monday blockbuster out at ANZ.
My brain's completely mashed at the moment.
I'm going an Easter Monday game.
We've got Dogs and Rabbits today. Right. Newcastle, there you are again,
you
Roosters. Yeah. The Broncos and the Gold Coast, aren't we all thrilled about that? Manly and the Storms we've talked about. Canberra Warriors, St George playing a weakened North Queensland.
Oh, North Queensland, yeah.
I tell you what, my kingdom for a prop forward would be North Queensland's
no JT.
What
a glorious moment to get North Queensland.
Penrith Granola got to be the match of the round.
You know, the Dragons always seem to play the Cowboys at split rounds.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, that's almost like a rort, you know. And this is the first year in ages I can remember them not playing, you know, in a split round.
Glorious thing it is, Rugby League. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Pleasure.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of Rugby League shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab,